Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. A Vietnamese man had a live eel surgically removed from his abdomen after doctors believe it slid up his backside.
Oh, okay. He didn't feel it coming.
Didn't see it coming.
A stomach-turning discovery made when an unidentified man, 34 years old, went to the hospital with severe abdominal pain. Doctors believe the sea creature entered the man's body through his anus.
Well, they used tight spaces, so.
And slid through his colon.
Those two rocks.
Yeah, his coral. Yeah, right. Coral reef.
My first thought when I heard that, I was like, okay, you really got to chew your food, sir.
Yeah, I thought he was eating sushi. Like, I've seen those properly. Videos of people eating fish, living fish whole. I thought
yeah, watch this.
The eel was found after doctors performed an ultrasound, an x-ray, which showed a foreign object inside the man's digestive tract.
Was alive?
It was alive.
Oh, my God. Still was alive after that?
That's the headline.
You would think the stomach acid.
Live 12-inch eel.
Wow.
Removed from man's abdomen.
I guess the whole 12-inch eel part, I must have missed a lot.
Yeah, you blocked out the live.
I was just like, once oh, my 12 God. Inches.
Yeah.
So good. Okay, he's got lunch. Gonna finish
that. Thanks for being that eel. You're like swimming around, and all of a sudden it's like,
it's kind of crappy.
Not a great place.
Yeah, it's kind of polluted over here.
Tight and cramped.
This water smells funny.
Yeah. It smells icky.
Nothing about this is good right now.
Oh, my God, I smell tinkle.
But did he get it in the water? Did he, like, go swimming in a weird lake? They just say he got in him? That's weird.
Does not say.
Really weird bar one.
You got to try this shot. That's what happens when you eat the worm and the tequila, bro.
I fell asleep in a bar. They say, I know.
This is a quote from the doctor. The head of surgery. This is a rare case. Well, thank you.
Yes. It doesn't happen every day. Now, do you send a surgeon or a fisherman? Here, eat this worm on a hook.
They didn't do surgery. They just dangled a worm at the end of his butt and the thing came out.
They did, yeah. They put this thing in legs.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah. If he was just swimming and that thing went in there, no one's ever going to believe him.
Right.
No one's, you know,
ever,
what I mean?
Yeah, no.
It's like, no, really. I was like, I'm skinny dipping.
I didn't touch it.
Like, what's Jerry getting down to on the weekends?
Yeah, some weekend, Bob, huh?
Yeah. I swear I slipped on the eel and it just fell in.
Right, I was in the shower.
All right, here's another headline. Screaming Grand Canyon fan ruins thrilling March Madness game. Have you heard or seen this clip?
No, not yet.
This is Grand Canyon's loss to Alabama. Let me just play this here. Go ahead.
On the push, Grand Canyon takes the loss. Count it for Grand Foster.
The guy with the eel?
That's what I thought. It's the guy with the eel.
They got numbers, but he felt this the entire way.
It's the sound he made when the x-ray came out. He's like,
oh. We know he's a Grand Canyon now.
I thought you left the kettle on or something, man. Right.
That's listen to how high that is. Can you play that again? It does sound like a tea kettle.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's like porpoise high.
If it was any higher, only dogs could hear it.
I was going to say, yeah. Or glass would just.
Can you imagine sitting next to that?
Right. Oh, yeah.
It was a man or a woman.
My guess would be a woman.
I hope it's a woman.
You
really
know,
hope
you don't
so.
Know.
Right.
Yeah, you don't know.
It's a very excitable man.
Very cold seat.
Sarah Cody, News 8 in studio.
Yes. Yeah, so happy to be back.
She's happy to be back with us.
Right.
But not happy with Bruce Springsteen.
No, no.
This is true.
Unhappy.
What's going on there?
So we bought tickets a year ago at Mohegan Sun. And I remember I was here, and I think we were talking about it. And I was going to, like, anchor in the morning at 6 a.m., do the New Haven parade in the afternoon, and go to Bruce at night. And I was like, what a day. I can do it.
Yeah.
And he postponed. Then he postponed again.
Oh.
And now he's coming back in April on a day when I'm on a college trip with my son.
Oh, man.
So it's just not happening.
You must like your son.
Yeah, I do. I feel like this is the home stretch.
Right.
And I was really excited to go back to this particular school with him.
Right.
So I feel like I got to see it through.
You can't say
tickets.
You're a big boy. Just go by yourself.
Yeah. I don't think I
Let's see if you can handle this.
Exactly. Welcome to the real world.
I'd tell my mom to go. Trust me. If she wanted to go see like Bette Midler or somebody she really wanted to go see and we had a plan, I'd be like, Mom, just go to the show.
Right. Yeah. Bette Midler. That's nice.
She'd love Bette Midler.
Yeah. Well, it was a 50th birthday present for one of my best friends, and her husband can go with her. So instead of me and Katie, it'll be Katie and Pat, and they'll have a good time.
Oh, so your ticket's already spoken for.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it is now.
Maybe he'll get sick again.
I don't know. Yeah, I thought about that, too. But I don't know. I think he had a great show recently somewhere. Yeah.
Vegas.
Yeah.
And I think Phoenix.
Yeah. Needs a flavor out there.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, boy. Yep.
Vegas, Friday night, he did Viva Las Vegas, which is awesome.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're playing Connecticut? Like, we don't have an artist that's like, hey, you're going to play your hometown guy now.
Feliz Navidad.
He was at Mohegan Sun, and he played Southside Johnny, which is from New Jersey.
Yeah,
so
makes sense.
Yeah. Would you play Peace Frog by the Doors? Just get the blood in the streets in the town of New Haven?
Out of New Haven.
Could do that.
Maybe. I mean, I'm reaching here.
How about a song about leaving?
Yeah. So where's your boy going to school? Which schools are we down to?
We're returning to UVM, which I think is the top choice, Marist, and UNH.
Oh.
And he actually just heard from Trinity, which is my alma mater in Hartford.
Oh.
Got in.
What's his course of study?
He wants to be a writer right now.
Okay.
Something about story creation.
Say, don't be psychology, because then you'll just be a bartender.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but writing too. I mean, it's sort of a broad thing to say. So, but, you know, he's young. He's got a ways to figure it out. But looking at the English department and story creation, graphic
design.
What
does he like to write?
He actually wrote a graphic novel last summer, self-published it.
Oh, graphic novel.
And did a really nice job. Yeah.
See, now that's something AI can't reproduce.
No.
You need the imagination for that.
Exactly. Well, it would try, but it wouldn't be as good. Right.
As graphic, yeah.
You could tell. You could definitely tell if AI tried to make a novel or a piece of art. There have been people who got caught on Amazon trying to sell AI-generated novels. Like, they'll just put in a prompt, write me a romance novel, blah, 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 give a few details. The thing spits it out. They put it into a PDF and then try and sell it on Amazon.
Really?
Wow.
I think that's really sad. But is it good? Is it a good story?
That's the problem. Grammar and syntax and all of the human element of it, of, like, nuance of language and stuff, it misses all of that.
Hang on a second. Squish.
Which is why we need people like...
Scratch that idea out. How to make money. That one's gone.
Which school do you want him to go to?
Ooh, that's a loaded question.
You know, community colleges are good. I went there.
Community college, did you say? For sure.
Get to come home every day.
Right. Yep. Oh, I think he wants to be out of here, first of all.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know, I said to him, Burlington for UVM is kind of far, Ben. It's 4 hours. You know, no, I'm ready.
Right. Not far enough. Yeah.
I'm going to just be Switzerland right now. Those are all good choices.
Oh, really?
And if he ends up at UVM,
you think if you told him your favorite, he would lean in that direction?
Okay.
Might be like,
I'm not going there. It could be the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah.
University of Bora Bora.
We went back to one, and I won't say which one because I thought it was a lovely school, but we went back a few weeks ago.
Oh.
We drove the 2.5 hours there. I took the day off from work, and we get there, and I'm all excited. I'm like, Ben, look at this class. Look at this building. Look at whatever. Mom, I don't like it here, and I'm not going to go here. I'm like, all right, Ben, then why did we just do the drive?
Guys don't want to go to a lovely school.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't sound
You don't
want
to hear the word lovely.
Yeah, no, you want to hear all
the cheerleaders. Mom says it's a lovely. Right, that's right.
Yeah.
They got a kick-ass
football team. My mom thinks
it's
lovely.
She said it's quite lovely.
Yeah.
Okay, super fun school.
Isn't it?
How about that?
Super awesome.
I was went lovely school.
Yeah, cool. People.
Good heavens.
I loved college. I had a lot of fun in college, so I expect them to be wanting.
I'm still coming down from college.
Yeah. Is this your first one going off?
No. So my oldest one is at Boston College. He is a sophomore.
Okay.
And he's doing great.
What was that like when he went off?
I cried for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
It hurt. It was like, it hurt.
Right. You'll never see him the same amount of time as much anymore.
I know.
That's it. It's over.
He said, we actually talked about that. I think we were booking a vacation or I was getting a new car, something like that. And he's like, Mom, we don't need a big car anymore. I won't be on that many vacations with you.
Yeah.
I was like, that's so sad.
In that case, Mom was getting a Corvette.
Right. That's pretty much what he was suggesting.
Yeah, exactly.
So get what you want.
Yeah, when he comes to bar, when he comes home, that's why. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Ben, the younger one, has been in Disney this last week on a Unified Buddies trip. He's like a peer mentor with the Unified Buddies, and it's an amazing trip that Valley Regional High School and Deep River put together. But he's only been gone for like 5 days. And I said, Benny, I miss you. And he said, what are you going to do when I go to college? And I said, I'll cry for 2 weeks like I did with Sam, and then I'll be okay. And then
you'll probably cry for a week.
Right.
the first one.
Yeah, two.
That's
right.
True.
Second one, one.
Right.
And then the third one, a couple days.
Right. And then I'm going to turn your whole place to a reading room.
Right. Yeah.
Then watch out. Jim.
Oh, my gosh.
Stay the hell out of here.
Young Chaz went to the University of Hartford. It's literally under a 60-minute drive.
Right.
And the first, we dropped him off. We got back. I went into his room.
Oh.
And I just, to smell his smell.
Right.
Oh. And like, you know, it's not that he's an hour away or whatever. It's just, you know, that this is a new stage. Like, he's never going to be
totally.
In the house every day. We're under the same roof for the rest, you know. Mm.
He's talking, my older one is talking about taking an internship in Boston for the summer. And then he goes to Spain on a semester abroad in the fall.
That's it.
So just like you're saying, we're on our way.
See it.
Which is good. It's just, it's hard.
It's a big adjustment.
Why I left my Puerto Rican mom wrote, your room stinks.
I'm airing it out.
Man, your room stinks.
I'm lighting it on fire.
What is your point here? What is that fish under the bed?
All right, so Sarah does this segment. It's called, what is it, 8 Things to Do This Weekend?
Yep. I have fun with it.
It's very helpful.
Well, of all the segments I've done, the important ones, you know, whatever, like people come up to me so much about 8 things people did at the parade. A guy had like a screenshot. I didn't know what to do this weekend. So I watched your segment and I went to the Bushnell, you know, like
exactly.
It's news you can use. People like it.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh, how about come clean AJ's house?
So, all right, there's that.
That'd be awesome.
You do a nice job on the weekends,
you do.
By the way.
Thank you very much. I enjoy it.
Yeah, if I was running that place, I'd move you into full time.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that. Be sure. Yeah. Be sure to say that far and wide.
Right. Can you say that louder?
So, who was doing weather?
Ashley.
Okay.
And then she kind of slowly moved off doing like one day, not two, when Zach came in, you know. It was a little bit of a time.
What's Ashley doing?
She got promoted to the 10 a.m. and the noon and the 4.
Yep.
She's doing weekday, big-time shows.
She got big time.
Yeah.
Good. That's right.
She's doing
how our business works, basically.
Yes.
They start you on the weekend shifts, and then they move you into full-time as things open up.
Right. Or sometimes they move you elsewhere, out of the building.
That is true.
I was escorted out a couple of times. A couple of times.
Like, I'm glad that's not the alternative
for me. But the box they give you is really cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Being staff. It's really cool.
Remind me, where did you start? Did you start in Connecticut?
I worked for 4 years at NBC in Boston, which was an amazing experience.
That's a big market.
At the time, we were traveling all over to every bit of breaking news, Princess Diana's death, you know, like whatever.
How would you cover that in Boston?
We sent somebody there. That was when we were sending local people. Like,
damn!
Yeah, to the big stories. And I was, for a while, the satellite producer handling all that coordination of getting them live from wherever.
Yeah.
By the time I was done there, I was a field producer writing pieces for the anchors, going to Washington. Just, that was a great experience for me. And then I went to Fox 61 behind the scenes and then got in front of the camera. And I was there for 18 years. And
18
then
years.
18 wow. years. I got married. I had my babies. Like, I grew up at Fox 61. And then I've been
okay,
at
so that's
now
why
for
you're
six,
over
seven years.
Because the general manager.
Rich brought a few of us.
Right.
On over.
And he's a pretty smart guy. I had lunch with him a few years back.
Yep.
He's very likable.
Enthusiastic and loves the business.
Oh,
and
he's so into it.
Yeah. Makes you, you know, excited about working for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a great switch for me, and I've had a lot of fun.
Cool.
Joe in Norwalk. You have something on this new weather guy?
Zach Dufresne, he's like a little scary ventriloquist dummy looking thing.
You mean that as a compliment?
Nice. In a nice way, you mean.
I got to see a picture
in a nice way.
I'm not going to go along with that.
He's just
one.
Very animated. Very animated person. He's like a very nice person.
No, so what does he wear? A big tie or what?
Yes, and he's got a small body, a big head. I'm afraid he's going to bite Sarah Cohen.
He's always smiling.
Okay.
Always smiling.
No, but see,
he's smiling because he's a happy guy.
Very smiley.
He's on TV. You got to smile if you're on TV.
Right.
Yeah, what's he supposed to be, mad?
Right.
He grew up.
It's real scary.
All right, John. What is scary?
He's got a twin brother.
Okay. How do you know all this about him?
We can see him, right?
He hung up.
Are you the guy in the bushes?
He has a twin brother?
He does, yeah.
Wow.
And he grew up in Hampden and went to, did he go to WestCon? He went to one of the state schools and knows a lot of people. A lot of people stop him. He's recognizable.
And knows his weather, damn it.
And they like his smile.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very
not,
animated
not scary.
Person.
Yeah.
I'm like, this guy's very cheerful.
Oh, that's good.
I was watching.
Cheerful is good.
I was hung out in my car going, wow, this guy's cheerful.
No, but you know, it'd be funny if you're doing weather and you're, you know, you have a twin brother. You know, you're in the studio.
I think they've had some of those.
Oh, really?
Oh. Because they're identical.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I could do that wacky mirror thing like
Well,
Lucy
no, you
did.
Do. No, you're in front of the weather screen. You're doing the weather. You say, now we're going to go outside too. And right. then oh. it's you.
Yeah.
It's him again.
Standing out in the snow.
Oh, my God.
What's his name? I want to see a picture of him.
Zach Duhaime.
Zach Duhaime.
Yes.
With a D-A-D-U-H-A-I-H-A-I-M-E.
Someone have him call us. Someone knows him.
Yeah, come on, Zach.
You want him to call in now?
Zach!
Yeah, why not?
Am I supposed to text him?
Sure, why not?
Say, hey.
Hey, yo. Al in the shed?
Yeah, good morning. Hey. I got some place for you to go this weekend.
Oh, no.
Come hang out in the shed and drink beer with me.
Sounds pretty good to me.
Right, she's writing down the air right
I
now
am.
To speak.
I'm like yeah, bullet pointing that one.
She's that's writing, number nine.
I think that's a really good idea.
Stalker has a capital S, by the way.
All right, so let's just say that Sarah Cody, News 8, goes to your shed this weekend. What?
Yeah, right.
All right.
That sounds like a murder mystery, doesn't
yeah.
it?
I mean, we
give her, you're close.
Give her a tour of your shed, Al. Go ahead.
And I'll make sure I'll give her the right, I'll bring the right wine.
Okay.
I don't know. It's got tools in it. It's got two outboard engines. It's got two dirt, three-leaf blowers.
It's got a questionable
three,
dirt floor.
Chainsaws.
He has
chainsaws.
Are there chains?
Chainsaws, yes. And he has this one part of the earth that doesn't, would never stay the same.
Ruth, you've been in the shed.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
So has Vince.
Yeah.
We sent Ruth to the shed.
He's like, that's
Vince has been there.
Killing right. gun. We're like, what's your squirrel killing gun?
He has a mouse gun.
Mouse gun. That's what it is.
I finally got Ruth's picture made up.
Yeah. If he'd use the bathroom, there's a funnel.
He did know that I like wine. Huh? That was nice.
Yeah.
Well, he's been
addition to the shed.
I've been studying you.
It's easy to get Sarah exactly out the report on something. You just say, I got a bottle of wine.
There, and boom.
This no is what problem. Stalkers do.
Thank you, Al. All right. So you were there at the shed, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did he just say before he hung up? Did you hear him?
I'll see you.
I actually do have a funny story that this is reminding me of.
Uh-oh.
Can okay. I tell it?
Yes,
we
please.
Were at one of those food drives that we do where people drive up and give us, you know, bags of groceries for good causes. And this man got out of the car and he gave Ashley a cheeseburger and he gave me a package of nips, like vodka nips. And I said, oh, thank you. How did you know I would like this? And he goes, I could just tell.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm giving off the vodka nip vibe. I didn't realize that. I thought I was like the preppy mom, but no.
I would have said your liver told me.
Isn't that funny? I came home and I'm like, look what I got.
I've got Saturday night.
Did you ever use them?
I think my husband did.
Excellent.
Nice. Excellent. See, someone's got to.
All right. Sarah Cody, News 8, is in studio, and she does a segment called 8 Things to Do This Weekend. So it's like just cool things to do in Connecticut.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you have any ideas, 203-882-9757. Nate in Burlington.
Good morning. How are you?
You.
Good, thanks.
Morning.
So there is a hidden gem right in Litchfield, Connecticut, called Laurel Ridge Daffodil Farm.
Ooh, that's good for
right
me to
on
know.
East, yeah, the first weekend of April or the weekend of Easter is when they bloom. And there's 700 to 1,000 daffodils, and it's a farm on a pond, and it's open to the public. You park on the road, and you can just go walk through the daffodils.
I
and then
am going to do this one. I think this is great.
I want to tiptoe through them.
So speaking of
half a mile up the road, this Saturday is called Hate Brown Vineyard.
I know that
called.
Place.
It's a winery.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, that's their opening weekend is this weekend as well. So maybe you can make a day out of it.
Yeah.
I think those were great suggestions, and it reminds me of Wicked Tulips. Have you guys ever been to Wicked Tulips?
No.
In Preston?
It's like a female metal band.
It's a delightful place. It's like, if anyone's listening and is interested, I was so sort of surprised by my visit there. It was really, really fun.
Wicked tulips?
Yeah, it's just gorgeous, and it's great for photos, and it's like a nice walk, and if it's a beautiful day, you're outside. Like, yeah. It was lovely.
Can you bring nips?
I think that would make it just, that's, you know, perfect. Yeah, one step better.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm drinking that down, I'm turning into a freelance garden hose.
Have you, do you cover places that serve drinks in this Eight Things to Do, or you kind of stay away from it?
And stuff. No, yeah. I have.
All right. Have you been to Mine Hill Distillery?
I haven't. Where's that one?
That's in Roxbury.
Oh, I like it.
It's a German Mine Hill.
Well, they have the mines in the woods, right? So
exactly,
that's why it's
right.
called that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've
they have
those.
The old train station, yes. The little trolley station that would bring the miners in.
Right.
Well, and they
it's
redid
really cool.
that. It's a real neat place.
We had landmines.
Right,
my dog.
We got a special guest we're going to pick up on in a second.
Yes.
But we've asked the tribe to call in neat places to go in Connecticut. Sarah does this really cool thing on News 8. It's called 8 Things to Do This Weekend.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing to have. You list it off and you go and do these things and it's big fun.
Yep.
203-882-9757. Paul in Shelton.
Good morning. How we doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, Paul.
So there's this company called the Sushi Class that goes around to different breweries, distilleries, or vineyards, and you make your own sushi, whether you're a raw fish or they have, like, chicken, vegetable rolls. And a lot of the time, too, they have, like, an added bonus. You make your own candles. So it's cool for, like, a date night or just, you know, if you're bored, want to go by yourself.
I think that's cool.
Yeah,
it's the sushi
too.
Company?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they go to, like, for example, New Britain. They go to THC. They went to Brewport,
right.
Nexo, and Orange. There's various...
I'll look them up.
Nice.
Thank you, Paul.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, sounds great.
Make sushi or candles. Don't confuse the two.
Yeah.
A very different experience.
It tastes like wax.
What are some of the top places that you've done in this special?
I mean, so
feature?
Honestly, I remember me and Jimmy for years did day trippers on Fox.
Yeah.
That was where, and I continued it with Destination New England on News 8. That's when we would go to, like, the destinations and have, like, an experience, you know, more of, like, kind of these suggestions. 8 Things to Do This Weekend is sort of more like the Easter trolley ride and the wedding show at Mohegan Sun, or, you know, like, things that are just kind of happening.
Right.
Not the evergreen stuff.
Gotcha.
But I still love all the suggestions, and I can work one of those in
there. Oh, so every
once
weekend
in a while.
Something. Do you have to come up with one every weekend?
I do one every week.
It's a
lot of work.
Drop a V8 in this pickup.
I have grids, like, in my computer moving forward where, like, every time I hear something, I plug it in. So I'm staying organized. But, yeah, it's a lot.
Nice. Holy cow. Yeah. Well, we need to help then.
Yes.
Boston John, I have a feeling yours is booze-based.
Well, it's Aerospace Museum in Stratford by the Sikorsky Airport.
Have you done this one already, sir?
I've been there, yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah, it's really cool. And of course, yes, there is a nice little bar there, too, called the Windsock.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, Windsock, yeah.
And stiff drinks.
Nice. Yep.
I've been there. I did a whole two-minute piece for Destination New England when we were airing that, and I have had them in 8 Things to Do several times. They keep in touch with me about special events they're having over the weekends. So, yeah, it's a good place.
Oh, yeah. They do a lot of car shows, too, there that are really cool.
Nice.
All right, Boston John, thank you, brother.
Thank
Appreciate
you, sir.
It.
Hey, have a good one, guys.
Thank you. On the phone right now is, he's not new. He's been there for like a year.
Right. He just celebrated his first anniversary, actually.
Oh, happy anniversary to News 8 weather guy Zach Duhame.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey,
absolutely.
Thanks for jumping on.
Hey, Zach.
How's it going, Sarah? Are you ready for another rainstorm?
No, I'm not. He knows I like the summer and the sun and the warmth. Yeah, and the boats and, like, that scene.
Thursday's forecast. Right now, the weekend looks good, at least. Fingers crossed for Easter.
Nice. Do you walk around and just talk weather?
You just started, like, spewing the forecast. I like it.
Right, he'll tell you lovely day, but tell you exactly how it's going to be lovely.
Although I got to say that sushi story, I'm a huge sushi fan, so that'd be cool to cover, Sarah, one of these weekends.
How old are you?
That was a hint.
I mean, you just got to be 12, 13.
I am 29 years old.
29. Wow. Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Connecticut's a big market to be doing weather in at 29. Good
Seriously.
For you. What's your background?
It is. So I've loved News 8, Gil Simmons and Dr. Mel and all those guys back in the day were the ones I looked up to, and the fact that I'm there with Gil and Joe and you know, and everyone else is just a true dream. So I've had the dream since I was literally 5 years old, been there since
you
I was 10.
Do sound like, you sound like the person who was doing weather when you were five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, meteorologists are like
nerdy.
That.
They're nerdy.
Like, they like, and they live and eat and breathe it.
Yeah, yeah, when he's sciencey.
When he drew a cloud, doing artwork, he actually named it.
That's a humor.
I actually had a drawing from sixth grade with me in the News 8 studio, and my teacher helped me draw it. And I still have it to this day, and that was, what, like 15, 20 years ago.
Wow.
And here I am doing it at the same studio. It's a true dream come true. For anyone listening in, if you have a dream, just follow it, because it's well worth it in the end.
Nice.
Wow.
I got to tell you, what you should do on the weekend is right before you go to him, you do a shot of that picture.
Right, right.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then you go to him.
Oh. Yeah.
Have you ever shown it before?
I don't think on air. No, I haven't.
All right.
How? No, dude.
Yeah, you didn't show that. Come on.
How have you not
missed that opportunity?
Listen to Chaz.
This is unbelievable.
Oh, better than that, man. Get a tattoo of it.
No, I used to, when I was a kid, talk into a microphone through a guitar amp and pretend I was a DJ on this radio station.
Right.
So, like, the dream has
that's
come
nice.
True
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Zach, we have that in common. But you gotta show that picture.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Try to get a photograph recreation of that picture.
Of the closet. Oh, man. But, yeah, it's just, you know, and Sarah's like an absolute gem to work with. I wouldn't want anyone else to work with on a weekend morning. You know, it's tough enough to get up at, like, 3 in the morning. But when I'm there with her on the desk and all of us in the background, we have Barry, Moody, E as a producer. It's just such a fun show, and I'm blessed to be there every day.
That's right, cool, you sound, that's you very sound cool. like the kind of person you want to work with.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was when you were talking about the weekend shift a few minutes ago, we have this small crew and we all love each other and we're like texting each other to make sure we're getting there safely. And like, it's really nice. Yeah. There are good things about those weird shifts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. You bond.
Yep. You bond. Yeah.
All right, Zach. Well, very nice meeting you.
Yeah, dude.
Thanks for
you
doing
well.
This,
maybe
Zach.
I'll come in one day and be on the show.
Absolutely. Well, you got to bring that. You got only if you bring that picture.
Yeah, it's a requirement.
Right.
You got to bring the picture.
Take
sure.
a picture of the
all
picture.
Right. Yeah,
send it to Sarah.
Then.
Sarah will send it to me.
Yeah. Right.
We need to see that picture.
We do.
I'd like to see it, too.
Like entry form.
That's a gem.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely something I'll never get rid of, that's for sure.
All right, Zach. Well, congratulations. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
And
we'll see you
talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Bye, Zach.
That was good, guys. Enjoy the week. And brave the rainstorm on Thursday.
Thanks for the heads up.
He's just a talking weather machine.
Thanks for the heads up. Yes.
That was cute when he launched into the weather. Maybe that's what he thought we wanted. You know, like, hey, I'm here with the weather report.
Right. He's always prepared.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Always prepared.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
It goes by fast with you.
It was lovely.
Oh, thank you very much.
Enjoy your enjoy your college tour with
thank
the boy.
You. Right. Thank you very much.
Yep. And then yeah, let us know how that works out.
I will.
We'll send you clips from Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Hey,
and I'm
going to
leave you with a tease. I got some big announcement in the summer, so have me back, and I'll make that announcement here.
You're not leaving, are you?
Nope.
Are you?
New project.
Really?
I'll just leave it at that.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Chasing the boss.
Little too early to talk about it. Have me back in the summer.
That's a good tease. Well, we'll have you back before the summer. That's a great tease.
Yep.
Sarah Cody, News 8, thank you. We have the honor now of talking to Chris Barron, the lead singer of the Spin Doctors. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. We're doing great, man. Thanks for coming on.
I wouldn't play that for your mother-in-law if you wanted to put her in a good mood.
Did you change the first line in the song? Did that eventually get changed?
No, I refused.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
You refused to change. Okay.
They were like, hey, the record company really heavied me about it, actually. And I told them that when I was like 7, I thought that, The Devil Went Down to Georgia by, Charlie Daniels was like the coolest song ever because it had Son of a Bitch in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then at some point I heard a version of it on the radio that was Son of a Gun.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that is so lame. Charlie Daniels wussed out. Like I was 7 years old and I understood like that was lame. And And they were like, yeah, but if you change it, like, it'll go to, you know, it was like at number 3 or something like that. They were like, if you change this lyric, like, all these people down in the South are going to play it because they're, like, evangelicals. And I was like, let them not play it. I'm not changing it for a bunch of, like...
Wow.
I was like, I'm Jewish. I don't care what they think.
Right?
I mean, the other thing is you would have got played on other radio stations. You know, not that it was anyway. It was number 3. But, wow, that was a... You took a stand.
Yeah. Ballsy move.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, no thanks, man. I'm not doing a Charlie Daniels. Sorry.
Right. Yeah, I like that at 7 years.
Nothing against Charlie Daniels.
Oh no, of course not. No.
Nothing against Charlie Daniels. As a seven year old, I was like, I'm tougher than Charlie Daniels.
My dad loved that song because of that son of a bitch line.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
totally.
This is the first line in the song. Got to get past the guitar intro here. Here we go. Yeah, you got right into it.
Yeah, you did. Right. No mincing words.
Yeah,
you got that bitch out there in the first sentence.
Right.
Totally.
Now,
I think it's important to like have a great opening line for a song.
Yes. Yeah, that sure. Definitely got everyone's attention.
It definitely did.
You know why? Because it's the music's so happy.
Right.
And you come right out with a line about the bitch being gone.
Well, so it's
right.
Happy.
Like, this is why I'm happy, people.
Right.
The bitch is gone.
Exactly. Right. That's why his music is so
yeah. Good. That's why the song is up.
Guys, she was such a drag.
Chris, did you write that?
I mean, that's kind of the secret to Spin Doctor's music. Is it's like, you know, happy music with sad, angry lyrics.
Oh, right. The contradiction.
The whole enchilada.
And what you're hearing and feeling.
That's right. That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah. If you listen to like Spin Doctor's song now, the lyrics, you'll see that a lot of the lyrics are a direct juxtaposition with the mood of the music.
Did you get that from, were you influenced by another artist to do that, or where did you get that from?
I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm a dark dude. Like, everybody thinks I'm like this happy-go-lucky, you know, dude in a hat, you know, but, like, a lot of those grunge guys wouldn't have survived, like, 3 days in my childhood. You know, I'm not complaining or anything like that, but like, you know, the difference between Spin Doctors and like grunge, I think is much more along like a philosophical kind of line. Like we always felt like it doesn't take a brilliant artist to point out that the world is patently unfair, you know, just not, that's not like an incredible insight. What is like a real insight is why in the face of like a world that's unfair, why should you be a good person? Why should you continue to hope? Why should you like get up in the morning and like, you know, live your life when the world is an unfair place? And I think that's like, you know, that if you want to write a song about something, that's something to really write a song
about. Well, so every morning.
AJ's miserable every morning.
Every morning.
Chris Barron, lead singer of Spin Doctors, on the show. April 5th, the Spin Doctors will headline the Friday night concert presented by Webster Bank at VersoFest 2024, which is just awesome. We're linked up. You got to look it up. You got to go to this thing. Very, very cool. Take my word for it.
Yeah.
So you're a tortured, you sound like, because you're so aware of how unjust the world is, you walk around basically miserable.
No, I'm actually like, I'm a pretty happy guy because I stay in the moment.
Gotcha.
Okay. That's good. That's key.
I'm like out there fighting the good fight and, you know, but I'm, and I've got hope because I believe people are basically good. But I think it's a mistake to look at, you know, at like the Spinnaker's music and just be like, oh, these guys are just like happy idiots.
Right.
You know, we're out there.
No, it's
we're
deep.
Out there throwing elbows with the best of them.
Yeah, no, it's deep, but you put it to happy music, which I love because it's not a big downer.
Well, you know, there's another, like, the other thing is that like, very early on in the Spinnaker's history, we were playing in New York City, and we played these bars on Bleecker Street that were, like, owned by the same people. Mondo Cani and Mondo Persia were the names of these bars. And basically, they were like, you got to get people in here and sell alcohol or you're fired.
Oh.
So we were like, at the end of the night, the manager would be like, you guys sold, you know, $4,200 for the booze. And we'd be like, how was that? How is that?
That's,
and they were like,
sounds great.
Well, so Blues Travelers sold $5,200 for the booze. But nobody sells more booze than Blues Travelers. So you guys are good. Joan Osborne was in here last week and she sold $2,800 for the booze. So, like, you guys are doing better than her. And we're not firing her, so you guys are good. But, like, you know, basically, like, at the end of the night, our performance was assessed based on, like, how much booze we sold. So I very quickly realized, like, okay, I've got my, like, artistic objectives here. Like, I want to, you know, do, like, my own music and say the things that I want to say. But if I want to make money doing this, if I want this to be my job, I also, like, have to remember that rock and roll is basically a lead loss to sell booze,
right?
You know? So I'm sort of like, that's kind of the story of the Spinnakers is, you know, we're telling our story as best we can, but we also understand that we've got an audience to entertain. And,
right.
And we embrace that, you know, like we're there, you know.
No, I like
luckily,
that. You know,
like,
you know what?
Luckily,
Chris, we all struggle with this every day, whether you're a stand-up comedian,
yeah,
a radio person, television personality. If you're making pizza,
yeah,
someone's telling you how to make that pizza, and you might be like, hey, you know,
yeah,
what? If you change this sauce, it could be, no. It's not about the best. It's about selling pizza.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, it's, we all have this struggle. So it's kind of cool to hear that, you know, you do as well.
Yeah.
It's like art.
Well, my hero is Bob Dylan. My hero was always Bob Dylan. And I was like, this guy is doing brilliant, brilliant stuff. And, you know, and he's making hit records doing, like, the most brilliant stuff. So I think that at a certain point, like, you're right. You know, there's a certain point where you have to be like, people are going to be telling you how to do what you do, and you're going to have to kind of, you know, play your hits. And if you're lucky, you know, you're going to do something that's pretty high quality and also appeals to a lot of people. And hopefully that's what we've done.
Oh, you have right, absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, and sold booze.
So Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, is that a song that you wrote for a situation that you were in, or was it, tell me about that.
That song is actually, people think it's about an ex-wife of mine or an ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
It's actually about my dad's ex-wife. It's about my late stepmom.
Oh.
Who was like a malignant narcissist, personality disorder. They got together when I was like 11. And she gave my brother and I, like, you know, a lot of hell. Like, my brother used to keep a machete under his bed. Basically, we kind of thought she might murder us at some point.
Oh, eating coconuts at night?
So, yeah, exactly. He had a coconut tree in his room. And,
that's my
yeah, no, sure. So, I mean, yeah, it was pretty gnarly. So that song is actually, yeah, a lot of people think that's about two acts of mine. But it's not really a song about a man you know, taking a woman down a peg or two. It's actually a song about, like, you know, me at 11 dealing with a pretty formidable adult, you know. So, yeah, it's funny. I actually was so...
That's horrible.
You know,
I've listened to that song for decades, and it's unbelievable. Like, you can listen to a song and think you know what it's about, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's not about that at all. Now I hear it a whole... It's a brand new song to me now.
It's a malignant narcissist. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's kind of a Copernican moment, right? Like, where, like, you're like, oh, wow, the Earth is going around the sun.
Right.
Not the sun around... Like, when you, if you listen to it again from that standpoint, you know, you can see like 11-year-old Chris Barron being, you know, but you know, don't get mad.
No,
of course not.
Write a hit song.
No.
Write a hit
exactly
song.
Right.
And
exactly. Turn it into art. This is the best art. It's, you know, there's some kind of turmoil, and it ends up in a song or on a canvas or on stage or in some, you know, artistic sense. This is great.
Yeah.
I mean, horrible for your life, but you've turned it into something good.
Yeah, lemonade.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, we got to have you back.
I always say a little bit.
We got to have you back
a little
tomorrow.
Bit of suffering never hurt anybody.
You got to come on tomorrow.
Okay, great.
Part two of this interview.
Yes.
Because now I'm going to play a little This Can't Be Wrong.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow we're going to talk about all the other stuff I was supposed to talk to you about.
Actually, like, the Spindoctors have a new record coming out.
Yeah.
The title is Faithful, you know. We're going to be playing some of that material at the show, at Verso Fest. But don't worry, we're going to play, like, Little Miss Can't Be Wrong and Two Princes, because we're not jerks. We're not, like, all other bands.
Because you got to keep your fans happy.
Legally obligated at this point.
I just want to hear it.
It's funny. People ask, you get tired of playing, you know, you get tired of playing Two Princes and Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. And I'm like, let me rephrase that. Do I get tired of people going nuts when I play a song that I wrote?
Right.
Seriously.
Exactly.
Seriously.
And the answer is no.
Yeah. It's like, right.
We're going to be playing some of that new material.
All right, good. So you're going to call us again tomorrow at 9?
Great. Same time, same place.
Okay, good. So it'll be part two of the Chris Barron interview.
Yes.
Great.
I could talk to you all day.
Yeah, man.
This is fascinating. So I'm going to play Little Miss Can't Be Wrong now, and then we're going to talk to you tomorrow. Again, we're linked up on the radio station website. Spin Doctor's new material coming out, and they're going to be headlining the Friday night concert presented by Webster Bank at VersoFest 2024. Chris, thanks for sharing that story, and now I'm going to listen to this song a whole different way.
Yep.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, man.
See you at the show.
Yes. This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.